22nd chapter. Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary. He was riding on the donkey, two servants with him, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in hand. The donkey turned aside out of the road. It went into the field, and Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the road. The angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyard and the wall on either side, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place, though no way to turn either right or left, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. And he struck that donkey with his staff, and the donkey opened the mouth of the donkey. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "Oh, what have I done to you? You struck me these three times." Balaam said, "You made sport of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand. I would kill you." Donkey said to Balaam, Am I not the donkey you've ridden on all your life? Have I ever accustomed to do this to you before?" He said, "No." And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with a sword drawn in hand, and he bowed his head and fell on his face. Yes, there was a holy man named Balaam who was much esteemed for his wisdom and foresight and much in demand for whomever Balaam blessed, found good fortune. Whomever Balaam cursed, seemed to find horrible things happening. So he was much in demand. And the king of Moab had sent Balaam a very nice check, saying, "I want you to come over to our place and bless my troops. And if it's not too much trouble, how about cursing this pesky tribe of Israelites and this crazy leader named Moses, a thorn in my side?" Well, God had already warned Balaam not to hinder the Hebrews in any way, had warned him to honor Moses. He knew that to oppose the Hebrews would be to oppose God, but check in the hand sometimes weighs a little more than the impalpable will of God. Moab's money appealed to Balaam's greed, so he saddled his donkey and took off. Riding down the road, of course, toward his destination, God sent Balaam a gift of grace. An angel, a divine messenger with a sword who was meant to serve as a stop sign. But Balaam, blinded by his greed and his ambition, didn't see the angel. But the donkey did. The donkey saw the angel and turned across the field and headed a different way. Balaam hopped off and whipped up on the donkey, pushed it back onto the road. Going down the road where they came to where the rock walls were steep, the road was narrow and the donkey saw the angel. Balaam did not. And the donkey pressed up against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against it. Balaam hopped off with a throbbing foot and beat the donkey again. And then they come to a spot where it is so narrow the donkey can't go left and can't go right and just plops down. And Balaam hops off and he's thrashing the donkey again when something amazing happens. Now you might not believe this could be true, but I think it could. Because in our family's history there's something known as the Duchess Dream. Duchess was my parents' golden retriever and their favorite child. Highly intelligent dog. And one morning my dad woke up from sleeping and he was just chuckling. And my mom said, "Bill, why are you laughing?" And he said, "I was dreaming and I asked Duchess how she was doing. And she spoke up and said, "Just fine, thank you." So she spoke to me. We always looked at the dog a little differently after that, and my dad too. But I believe it could happen. Suddenly, Balaam's donkey was given the gift of speech and says, "Whoa, why are you doing this?" And Balaam is so mad, he's not going to take any guff even off a talking donkey. He said, "Because you're making a fool out of me. I've never done anything like this before." No. And the veil opens from above Balaam's eyes, and he sees the death angel, the angel with the sword. And the angel says to Balaam, "Why are you striking that animal? That animal is trying to save your life. I have been given instructions by God to stop you, and if you challenge me, my instructions are to kill you. But I wouldn't kill the donkey, because the donkey has more sense than you do." Now, this comic story contains a very serious message. God, as a gift of grace, often sends stop signs into our lives. And one of the gifts of wisdom is to see God's stop signs and acknowledge them and realize it's time to head a different direction. Wisdom often calls us to ponder the meaning of God's stop signs. Police officers often say that the cause of most wrecks is excessive speed. The cause of most wrecked lives is often excessive speed. Think about our culture for a moment. Everything about our culture is trying to make us do things faster. Eat faster, cook faster, drive faster, fly faster, communicate faster. Live faster. Heal faster. Could it be that sometimes our lives are moving so quickly we miss God's stop signs? There are certain things in life that cannot be rushed. Love cannot be rushed. Friendship cannot be rushed. Spirituality cannot be rushed. Expertise cannot be rushed. The most valuable things in life, the most enduring things, cannot be rushed. And yet we can often fail at them because we fail to acknowledge the stop signs that God tries to say to us, "Hey, you're living too fast." Some of those stop signs are physical. High blood pressure, moments of lethargy, moments of dizziness, moments of breathlessness. We can't eat, we can't sleep, we can't stop eating, we can't stop sleeping. There are all kinds of physical things that manifest itself in the way we're living too fast. Some of those symptoms are psychological. We're always irritable. We're picking squabbles with people we love. We feel great moments of worthlessness. We entertain thoughts of self-destruction. Now, an occasional stop sign in your life is no big deal, but when these stop signs begin to dominate our existence, it's time to stop for a moment and say, "Wait a second. Where am I going? What am I becoming? Who am I becoming?" Sometimes the best thing we can do is recognize the stop signs that God puts in our life. When you don't acknowledge those stop signs, you can begin to live at variance with who you truly are. You begin to to find yourself in the company of people who don't live and don't share your values. You find yourself pursuing ambitions that don't really reflect what you really mean to be. I had a friend of mine whose driving ambition was to be the pastor of a First Baptist church in a big city. That was his driving ambition, though it was not his personality and aptitude. But he realized his dream. And after 3 years of living that dream, he got up one morning and sat on the side of his bed and he said, "I can't do this anymore. This is not who I am. I can't live this lie anymore." He had been so driven by this ambition that he had ignored stop sign after stop sign after stop sign until he had lost touch with who he truly was. If you look at the stories of most of the great biblical characters, Moses, David, Isaiah, Peter, every single one of them found God sending a stop sign into their life. And what made them great people was they had wisdom enough to recognize it most of the time. What does Jesus say to the people gathered on the Sermon on the Mount? Stop. Take a breath. Consider the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. See how they grow. Stop for a moment and take stock of the wonder around you. Stop. Look. Listen. The Bible is full of advice that's counseling us to reconnect to the source of our life and the source of our love. Stop, look, listen, slow down. Some years ago, I had a very good friend, one of my mentors, who was one of the most driven people I have ever known, very time conscious. And his only hobby was gardening. And so I hadn't seen him in several months, and so I said, "Well, how's the gardening going?" And he said, "I'm not doing it anymore." I said, "Why?" He said, "I had a time management specialist analyze my life. And he said my time was too valuable to be spent gardening." Four years later, at age 55, my friend dropped dead of a heart attack. And I've always wondered, maybe gardening was the stop sign in his life that allowed him to function. Maybe not all time had to be efficient. Maybe some time was meant to be slow and perhaps not as productive. We all need stop signs. Sometimes stop signs don't say, stop going where you're going. It just means to slow down and proceed with caution. One of the things that the story tells us is what I said to the children, and it's true for adults as well. We have to respect the donkeys in our lives. There are times when someone comes to us and says, "You're going the wrong way. You're living in the wrong fashion." There are times when we have to heed the donkeys in our lives. It might be a spouse saying to us, "If you keep living the way you're living, you're going to do irreparable harm to us. It might be a good friend to say, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to shrivel. It might be a teacher. It might be a mentor. It might be the very Spirit of God saying, you've got to come to me in a more profound way. You've got to commit to my fellowship with more courage. It may be your own conscience, that still small voice that's saying to you, you're headed the wrong direction. Stop. Stop. None of us want to hear the donkeys in our lives. None of us want to humble ourselves to their word. But oftentimes the donkeys in love can see things about us that we cannot see. Often they can see dangers we do not perceive. Sometimes it's the donkeys we have to allow to open our eyes. There is hidden in this little text an extraordinary theological message. Because the word that the Bible uses for angel in this story is Satan. Satan. Not Satan as the evil one, but rather Satan as adversary. There are times in our lives when God acts as our Satan, when God's messenger is our adversary, who is trying to keep us from taking a path that would lead to our destruction. Acknowledge when God is standing in your way, speaking a stubborn no to your more stubborn yes. Acknowledge that if you don't recognize that no, you're going to drift in a direction that's going to lead you from who you truly are and who God wants you to be. There are times in our lives when God stands as our adversary, our messenger, to stop us on our path. Some years ago, South Carolina, you want to know why their gas prices are low? Because they have no gas taxes and their roads are bad. Man was driving down the road in the darkness of one morning and suddenly his world literally fell away. The road became a sinkhole and his truck went into it. Miraculously, he was not hurt. He climbed out of his truck, climbed out of this deep sinkhole, and had the presence of mind to walk up the road to warn the next traveler. It's in the early morning, and there was a woman bent on getting to work on time. And he's waving his arms, trying to get her to stop. And of course, she doesn't believe him. She slides right on by, but something about his look caught her eye, and she stopped just short of the abyss. She got out of her car. She peered over into the deep hole into which she could have fallen. And she ran back to that man and threw her arms around him and hugged him. There are times in our lives when we need to express the same kind of gratitude to God for the stop signs He puts in our way. There are times when we have to have the wisdom to see that those stop signs are directing us toward the path of life. May we pray together. Lord, amidst comic stories and talking animals, we can see in the blindness of others our own blindness. Open our eyes. Open our hearts. And may we throw our arms around you in gratitude for the gifts of grace that direct us a different way. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Even